Live from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studio, it's The Ramsey Show, where we help people build wealth. We help them do work that they love, and we help you create and build actual amazing relationships. I'm your host, Jake Warshaw, joined by the ever knowledgeable Dr. John Deloney. We're here taking calls about your life and your money. Give us a call. The number is 888-825-5225. We got Leslie in Los Angeles, California. What's up with you, Leslie?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I was wondering, is it wise to overspend without any limits on kids' activities since we're investing in them? I'm also asking because we kind of overspent on the house. But other than that, we're very
Wait a minute. Well, I think you're kind of answering your own question because you said the word overspend.
Hold on. I gotta dig in. This is my favorite. Leslie, I'm gonna get myself in trouble. Is that okay?
Come on, John.
Sure.
When you say you're investing in your kids, what does that mean?
I just want to, you know, my parents, they invested in us. Like, I had opportunities to try everything. So now the career I have is exactly what I want to do, and I have a great job.
Well, what if I told you, I stop you? Mm-hmm. What if I told you I had the opportunities to do almost nothing when I was a kid, and I'm in a job that I love, and I love my job? Does that hit you any type of way?
When you look at your kids, if you look at your kids as an ROI proposition financially, you're going to get into a mess. You're going to get into a mess.
Okay.
So it gives people license to, I have to send them to every sporting event, all these crazy, insane travel sport nonsense. Mm-hmm. Of the, not only do we have to do music lessons, we have to do all the music lessons. And by the way, my kids are in music lessons and my kids do one thing each, right? So when it comes to brain development, yeah, I guess you can call that an investment. When it comes to social development, having fun. Yes, all those things are good. But if you're thinking, I'm going to overspend right now, I am going to make my house more anxious, more chaotic, so that they can maybe one day get their dream, that math doesn't work.
That's okay? Good. How much are you spending? How much are you spending and overspending?
Okay, so we spent easily up to $1,000 between two kids. Okay. And I have three kids, two older kids, and then the youngest one goes to daycare, but I mean, that expense, you have to spend it.
Sure,
of course.
But the activities for the older kids, like over $1,000 a month.
How much debt do you have?
So we don't have any debt except for the house. So we have, we're paying $3,500 a month on our house. But we also had to take out a second loan, to buy the house because we didn't have enough to put down.
You just had to, huh?
No, we were finally ready to buy a house and that's when everything went crazy.
I know, but you know, it was not ready for a house purchase was math. Math wasn't ready. Y'all were ready, but math wasn't ready.
What's your monthly take home? What's your take home? Because I want to see what percentage this mortgage is of your...
We make about $20,000 from both of us.
Per month?
Yes.
Okay. So your mortgage is fine.
No, but we have more. We have that second mortgage.
How much is that?
That's for 10 years. That's for 10 years and it's $2,600. And we borrowed about $100,000 from a family member, and that we're paying them $2,500 a month for the next 7 years.
So you're paying $6,100 a month for the home. I've got that right. Plus the $2,500 to your friends. Is that right?
Family member. Yeah. So $3,500 for the actual mortgage, $2,600 for the for 10 years. For the second mortgage and $2,500 for 7 years to a family member.
Leslie, I can hear that you know that this is insane.
You're paying $8,600 a month to tackle all of the cares of this mortgage, almost half of your take-home pay.
Yeah.
And then we're spending it. Okay.
And your 20 grand, is that take-home or is that gross?
That's take-home.
Okay.
All right. The good news is you've got a great yearly income and you've got a great monthly income. That's the good news. The bad news is you're not being a good manager of this money. And I hate the what this mortgage is doing to you. The $2,500 that you're paying to your friends, when is that? When does that end? What's the total amount and when is that over?
I think it's we have 6 more years left.
No, not 6 more years left. How can you pay it off? We need to get that paid off sooner. Because you said you had no debt, but this is debt. So if you said you're paying $2,500 for 6 years, how can we get that done faster?
The only debt worse than owing a friend 6 figures is IRS debt.
It's
so destructive to the soul of a relationship.
You owe them $15,000 and you make $20,000 a month. How quickly can you get them that money?
Wait,
you see what I'm saying?
You owe them $15,000 or you owe them $100,000?
No, it was about $100,000.
Yeah, $100,000.
I don't know the exact numbers. Yeah, so it kind of, and when we did the calculations, it was about $2,500 for 7 years.
Girl.
Dude. Here's where this ends. No, this ends in ash. It ends in a huge mess. No, you, like I was going to say, you can't afford to send your kids to that kind of expense.
Yeah.
You can't. Absolutely not.
You got to clean up this mess.
Y'all are broke. Wealthy, broke people.
What is this house worth?
So we bought it for 1.35. I think it's about 1.5.
But you have no equity in it, do you?
We put down, probably.
Because you had to borrow from 3 different sources just to get in the front door.
Yeah.
You guys have
to buy like $1 million home. We had 10% for that, but it just went crazy. And we would buy like nothing for $1 million.
No, it didn't go crazy.
You went crazy.
Thank you.
You went crazy. It didn't. It is just its own thing. Y'all went B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem, Leslie. And I gotta get in my Jade stance here for a minute, because you've got to start with the man in the mirror. You got to look at this and go, I and my husband did every part of this. The market didn't just happen. Something didn't just up and happen to you. You went along for the ride and you signed up for it and you were like, hey, we'll do this. Hey, you called in the show and said, I'm overspending, which means you know that you're doing it, but you're still trying to find this external thing to blame for or say that it's okay. If you don't start changing your habits and changing them quick, you're going to be you're already up a creek without a paddle. You guys got to get this money paid off. You make too much money to be this broke.
If a bank won't loan you money, if they won't do it,
then something's up.
Something's up.
Because a bank will give money, they will give money to a pet. They'll issue a loan for a dead person. If the bank won't do it, you ain't got no business getting it. Whew. I feel for you, Leslie. This is The Ramsey Show. You're listening to The Ramsey Show. I'm Jade Warshaw, your host, joined by my co-host, John Deloney. And we're taking calls about your life, your money, your relationships, whatever's going on with your money situation. We want to talk about it. If something fishy's going on with your job, we want to talk about it. Something weird's going on at home with your money and your spouse, we want to talk about that. Give us a call. The number is 888-825-5225. We got Allison in Portland, Oregon. Ooh, that's my old neck of the woods. What's going on, Allison?
Nothing much. I just, I'm having some problems with my spouse. I budget. He doesn't budget. I talk about my debt. He doesn't talk about his debt. So I'm just wondering how to bring that conversation up to him and kind of get somewhere with it.
Tell me a little bit more. The way you're framing that sounds like you're talking about a roommate or a business partner, not your husband.
That's kind of how it feels like right now when it goes with money. So we have access to like debit accounts, but credit, like he has access to my credit cards if he wants to look. I have no idea what happens with his credit card. It seems like at the end of the month, he's left with little to no money in his account. And I've started saving for a house. I've started saving for, you know, emergency funds, things like that. But he hasn't been chipping in.
How long have y'all been married?
Since
2 years. One of two things is happening. Either he is seeing somebody else or is struggling with an addiction of some sort or has not left behind his former life that he had before he stood before friends and family and God and said, I do. He's propping up a lifestyle at your expense. Or he has such a huge debt mess and the shame surrounding that is so big, he's trying to do everything he can to hide it from you.
Okay.
And I don't, like, as your friend, just you and I just having nachos hanging out, I don't believe you that this is, everything else in your marriage is great except for money. That never is the case. What else does he not talk to you about?
There's, like, I wouldn't be able to tell you. I feel like we talk about everything. So if there's something he's not talking about, it hasn't been brought up to me.
Do you think that it's more of the latter, that it's some sort of debt mess that he has and he doesn't?
I think there's some shame around it. I mean, I make more money than him.
How much more?
40 grand more.
Okay. Can you just tell me the full number that you make and the full number that he makes?
So I make about 90
okay.
a year.
Okay.
He makes about 45.
Is he insecure about that?
I think so, but like it's not a conversation that I've been able to have.
Okay.
He doesn't like to have that conversation. So I think that's part of it. So I'm like, hey, you know, I've saved up this much for a house.
And you have no debt.
He doesn't want to have that. No, I do have debt and I'm still paying off my debt, but
okay.
I make...
So if you had been my sister or my daughter, I would have told you to have this conversation before you get married. And if the person you're about to marry won't talk to you about money and won't combine accounts with you and won't partner with you on a life together, but wants to, is just hell bent on having two parallel lives together, I would say absolutely under no circumstances should you get married. Zero.
Yeah.
Couples that don't have this discussion end up in ash. Always. And when you bring kids into the mix, it gets magnified. When you put home ownership in the mix, it gets magnified. Because just the way you're talking, you're not talking like married people. You're talking like next door neighbors. His money, my money, and his account and my account, that's not married talk. That is two people who are playing house talk. And I'm not saying that to shame you. I'm saying that I'm heartbroken for you that this is where you found yourself. And I'm heartbroken that you think so little of your safety. You don't feel safe in this house because you don't even know where you stand. And you thought you were marrying a partner and you married a child and you're... Yeah. The only way this thing turns around is if you sit down and say, I'm not going another step until we have this money conversation.
Now, question, Allison. I have a question for you. If you... Okay, aside from sharing accounts, getting... his password, things like that. If you just say to him, hey, I just want to talk about our beliefs. Like, what do you believe about debt? What do you believe about, like, is he willing to have any stitch of a conversation with you? Or is it just simply, and if you asked him, hey, is it just a total brick wall? Or is it like, hey, I just don't feel comfortable sharing my, like on a scale of 1 to 10, I want to know how ironclad this is.
I would say if we like sit down and have a, like, I can bring stuff up about it and he'll answer, but the answer is very vague. So if I was like, hey, this is my goal, like for, you know, my 5-year goal, my 3-year goal, whatever it might be, he's very supportive of it. He'll be like, oh, okay, like I understand that that's kind of something I want to do. And I'll be like, oh, so how do you plan to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it kind of shuts off.
Okay. And if you were to say, hey, you have debt, how much? He'd just be like, yeah, I have debt, but he's not going to give you a ballpark.
Yeah, like I know there's some student loans. I know there's credit cards. That's what I know. I don't know if there's any, like a loan or anything else. He doesn't have a car payment, anything like that.
Here's what I want to ask, and I'm asking John on your behalf because I've seen this before. Is it just a sense of control? Like, is it because some people just like to lord over finances and they just like to control it and it's just their thing. You're not going to tell me what to do. This is my thing. I make my money and it's just a control thing.
It becomes about power, right?
Yeah.
This is my life. I can do whatever I want to. And by the way, I can control your life.
Yeah.
And, or number two, it's about shame, right? It's I've dug myself a hole. I'm in a mess. My wife makes twice as much money than I, it, you know, right? It becomes this whole faulty narrative. But listen, I was getting on to him, Allison, but when you sit down and you tell your husband, here's my 5-year goals. He has, what's he going to tell you? No, you can't do those things. If he loves you, he's going to say, great. You got to stop having these mine and yours. You got to start having our conversations.
Yeah, that's a big point. Allison, when I got married to Sam, he had far in the majority of student loans than I had. He had about 230 and I had about 34. And so the conversations about money, it was like an onion. It was like, all right, in this conversation, I get this layer. And then the next conversation, I'm discovering something else. And then, and over time, he was sharing more and more. The source of that was a lot of shame, a lot of regret, a lot of, hey, I'm holding you back in your life. Like, if it wasn't for this, we could be doing, like, that was the source of it. And the best thing that I was able to do is every time we had those conversations, I was just like, thanks for telling me, like, let's do more. Like, and I actually started getting mad at him. And saying like, what, do you not trust me? Do you not think I'm going to support you through this? You know, like I kind of started posing the question to him, like, you not telling me is telling me something about the character you believe I have. If you believe that I'm not a ride or die, if you believe that I'm not going to stand with you through this, is that what you think? So I kind of started, you know, putting it to him like that. And the more that I showed him, hey, like, I'm in this, it's our money, it's our debt. The more we were able to speak openly about it until all of that came out. And the more that I was like, hey, your debt is my debt. And I don't know the ins and outs of your situation, but I can only tell you my own experience. And as much as you, like what John said, man, rehab that vocab and start saying we and I, and this is the life that we can build together, and what we can do with our money, and here's our dreams and that sort of thing, man, that can tear down walls.
So here's what this looks like, Allison. This looks like you and him, inviting him out for a breakfast. And I like breakfast just because sometimes these conversations can take 2 or 3 or 4 hours, a lot of twists and turns. But invite him out for a breakfast and say, we need to have a hard two-year check-in. And when you sit down, say, I'm scared to death and I can't breathe because I don't know where we are financially. We're living two separate lives. We need to create our future, not mine and yours, but our future. And that starts with you being honest about what we owe, what our debts are, and how we are going to create a new life. But it starts with you admitting, I'm terrified. Will you please help me?
This is The Ramsey Show. What's going on, guys? It's The Ramsey Show. I'm your host, Jade Warshaw, joined by Dr. John Deloney. Taking calls today, your life, your money, how to build wealth, how to budget, how to get out of this thing called inflation and rise above. Whatever it is, we're taking your calls, 888-825-5225. When, John, was the last time that you were excited about a Monday?
I'm always excited about Mondays.
I kind of am too. But if that's you, if you're struggling, what if instead of waking up exhausted, you felt exhilarated? You can't wait to get to work because it's another day to fulfill your passion. All right. In a world where the bare minimum Monday, I hate that phrase, a trend has taken place of quiet quitting, it's clear people are craving meaningful work, but finding the career you were born to do can be difficult when you don't have the right tools. That's why career expert and Ramsey personality, my dog, Ken Coleman, created the Get Clear Career Assessment to help you discover your top talents, passions, and a clear mission statement that'll help you find the work that the world needs you to do. I love that. The world needs you. You've got something inside you that the world needs. And after taking this quick assessment, you'll get a custom report with everything you need to take the first step towards a meaningful career. Start your journey and take the Get Clear assessment today. All you need to do is go to ramseysolutions.com/get-clear. And I can tell you, man, the road to finding what you are meant to do, man, it can be, for me, it was a little bit of a windy road, John.
I'm still trying to figure it out, man. I somehow stumbled into being a YouTuber.
Can you believe it?
I don't know how long this is going to last, but man.
I mean, I know me. A lot of what we did to find our path was so driven by like that financial
survival.
Yeah. That journey getting out of debt, and it was all like a blur. It's like you get out of college and I had a music degree and it was like, what the heck am I supposed to do with a music degree? Nobody's ever asked to see my degree ever. And it's like, you're just trying to make your way out in the world. And that kind of brings me to my next segment, John. They want us to talk about some of the craziest things we've ever done to get money.
To get
some of our weirdest money stories. Am I saying that right? Yeah.
Bro, Austin, like the statute of limitations hadn't run out on some of these things, man. I can't be saying that.
There's warrants. There's warrants out.
What's the matter with you? I can't say some of this.
I've never done anything illegal to get money. Like that I know of.
Well, thanks for kicking me while you're down.
I'm sorry.
I was playing.
All my stories are funny stories. They're not like involving the popos.
I mean, I would do things like, I was the associate dean of a college, and then on Saturday and Sunday I was painting dorm rooms, and like I was doing things in the morning and delivering things in the evening. I was all over the place, man. I don't know.
So I can tell you some jobs. Sam is like in the lobby motioning something to me. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, but I can tell you the craziest story that Sam and I had is, okay, so we owed lots of money, mm-hmm. $500,000. And we were trying to get money. I had an audition that I needed to do and we needed to be able to move. And so Sam was like, hey, we had run out of things to sell. We had literally sold everything in the house, like to the point that we had no furniture. Like people would come over and be just sitting on the staircase because we had no furniture. So Sam gets this bright idea. He's like, hey, I know what we can sell to get money. And I'm like, what? He goes, I loaned my friend a keyboard back in high school. And I'm like, I'm thinking it's like this is back in like the early 2000s. So I'm thinking it's like a Triton, like mm-hmm. like one of those nice keyboards. And so he goes, I'm going to call him up and see if he still has it. I'm like, okay. So he calls up Andrew and Andrew's like, dude, I don't know if I still have the
keyboard.
You're
that guy, Sam.
He's like, you can search the garage and see if you can find it. So we drive over to his house. By the way, he lives with his parents in like this giant mansion. We get to the house and Andrew's like, dude, check the garage. So he opens it. My husband is like searching in the garage for this keyboard. He finally finds it. And it's like an old like Walmart
like Casio.
Bro, I was like, what are we going to get for this? Is $20? But that's when, let me tell you, when you're out here trying
hungry,
to get money, you will go for it. You will go do it. When I tell y'all to go sell stuff, and when I tell you guys to get crazy, that I know I'm not telling you to do anything I didn't do.
I rented a room out of my buddy's mom's house, like stayed in. I was a grown man with a good job. I was engaged and I was waiting to get married and I lived in a house. Yeah, we sold our house. We sold our nice house and moved into a dorm. We did some crazy stuff to try to make ends meet.
But did you sleep on an air mattress for 5 years?
I did not do that.
I slept on an air mattress for 5 years and I'm checking my text because Sam is like, Sam just texted me the craziest thing we ever did for money. I forgot about this. We used to work on cruise lines.
Okay.
And we used to get booked to do our show on the cruise lines. And so we got booked, John, to do a nude cruise. All the passengers.
Been there.
We've all been the passengers there. On the ship were buck naked. And I had to perform with my clothes on. I did not participate in this craziness. We performed. We were on the ship for 5 days with all naked people.
Oh, wow.
3,000 naked people, John. That's the craziest thing I've ever done to get money. The craziest thing. You're talking about somebody in the buffet.
No!
Slicing some ham.
No naked buffets.
Yes.
America, can we be better than that? No naked buffets.
I'm telling you, I went to the gym and your boy was on that leg press.
Oh, no.
He was getting it on the leg press.
No! No!
This is a true story. True story. I forgot about it. Thank you, Sam, for texting me that. Man, that's it, John.
All right, you win. You win. You win.
When I tell y'all we did some things, I'm telling you we did some things. All right, with that, we need to take a call. We need to get our lives back together. We got Raina in Houston, Texas. What's going on, Raina?
H-Town. What's up, Raina?
Hello. I was just calling because I just started the Dave Ramsey plan. And prior to this, I used to be really, really poor. Mm-hmm. So every time I would get my income tax, I would just put it towards my rent. I have a house now, and I owe $46,950. And what I used to do was pay my bills in advance. So I'm not due till September 1st on my mortgage, and I have a car payment that I'm not due till July, and it's $652. But and I have a 401k loan for $7,000, which is next in line to get paid. I have a $1,000 emergency fund, and my question is do I just continue to pay my bills as if I'm not ahead? Or do I just not pay it to those dates and just put that towards the 401k loan? Like, I'm not sure what direction to go into.
Randa, Jade's going to walk you through it. I just want to tell you, I'm so, so proud of you.
Thank you.
No, like, listen. Like, oh, thank you. What you have done is some of the hardest work a human can do. Mm-hmm. You took a machete and you head off into the woods and you said, there is no trail, I will make one. And that makes you strong and that makes you brave. And it's an honor to have get to talk to you. It's awesome. Okay.
Sorry.
I'm so proud of you. It's amazing. Fellow Houstonian here, I'm so proud of you. It's amazing. All right, go ahead, Jade.
I think you're doing great. You know, that the fact that you're getting ahead, that's letting me know that you've got extra money in your budget to do that. I feel like you're still kind of in that survival mode.
That's right.
And I want you to know that you don't have to operate like that. You can do a month-to-month budget like everybody else. And I think that you're going to get further faster that way, because you're really going to see the margin that you have to start paying down this 401k loan, to start paying your car completely off. So I want you to walk the baby steps. You've got the $1,000 saved. That's an excellent job. And I want you to work your baby step two, which is paying off your debt. And I want you to use the debt snowball method. So Raina, with that, you're listing all of your debt from smallest to largest. So you mentioned a car note, you mentioned a 401k loan. If there's anything else in that, list that debt from smallest to largest, make minimum payments on all of the debt, and put any and all extra money on the smallest debt until it's gone, and work that snowball until all your debts are gone. And then you're going to be able to stack up a nice 3 to 6 month emergency fund to finish this out for you. And then go on through the baby steps. You're going to be investing. You're going to be saving for kids' college. You are doing a fabulous job. You're going to be one of these people standing on this stage as a Baby Steps millionaire one day.
Hey, let's get fabulous her FPU job. For a year, and let's get her every dollar just so we can support her on her amazing transformation.
This is The Ramsey Show. You're listening to The Ramsey Show. I'm your host, Jade Warshaw, joined by Dr. John Deloney, taking calls about your life and your money. Scripture and quote of the day, Proverbs 18:22 says this, "By your endurance, you will gain your lives." Let that one sink in. Like it. AC/DC, come on, son. It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll. I feel like they did that for you, John.
I'll take it.
Maybe they did it for me, too. It's a long way to the top if you want to rock it. I don't know.
Usually when you have an AC/DC quote next to a Bible verse, the paper just catches fire, but whatever, guys.
It did catch fire earlier. I put it out already. We're taking your calls. Give us a call, 888-825-5225. We got Ryan in Indianapolis, Indiana. What's going down?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. What's
up? My question is, my wife and I are 27 and 26. We're in baby step 3B/4, kind of in the house saving / investing 15% step. We are wondering if we should leave our family and kind of like everything we have behind in our small rural Indiana town for a government job kind of across the country, whether that be in Texas, North Carolina, and of course the benefits that come with that, you know, housing stipend, pension.
Why would you not do this?
So the only thing holding us back is our family.
Do you even like them?
We love our family, yes.
That's good.
Gross.
So that's
gross.
That's the hard part. That's good. That's the hard part.
That is a hard part.
I don't. You're talking to two people who have done this.
Mm-hmm.
We love our families.
Yeah, and that was where I was at.
we love our families, and we've moved across the country for work and for opportunity. And I don't know. I can't speak for you guys, but it's been great.
I think it's been, yeah. I'm not going to say that it's always easy, because
it's hard.
Community, I mean, you can't buy community. You cannot, you know, that's one of those things that takes time digging in and creating, and what you've created over time in Indianapolis, that's not going to just crop up for you, you know, like 6 months into it or a year into it. That takes time to build. So I'm not going to lie to you and say it's going to be easy, but you've got to sit down with your wife and kind of sort through, like, what do we want, and what does that look like, and what are we willing to sacrifice? Because there, you got to take the bad with the good.
Yeah. So
that, like, you guys suggest renting, of course, in the beginning. So we have about $60,000 saved up for a house.
Absolutely. Rent. Absolutely. Rent. Yes. Okay. Because you got two variables here. One, you don't know the ins and outs of the community you're going to be landing in.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't want to buy a house and then realize you wish you were on the other side of town, or you wish you were more rural or more downtown or whatever. And two, you don't know if this is, here's what a lot of folks box themselves in, especially as 26 and 27 year olds. It's either we stay here forever and die, or we move and we never come back. And that's a false binary narrative. It's not true. You can move for 18 months. You can move for 6 months, and both you and your wife look at each other and say, this is a disaster. We got to go back.
Mm-hmm.
And in a small rural town, two awesome folks, like you, they'll take you back.
They right? sure will.
Or you can move and realize, and when you don't have a house payment, you're renting, there's no pressure sitting on you, on your chest and on your wife's chest. You can't breathe. And then you can actually live your life and decide, is this for us or not? When me and my wife moved from Texas to Nashville, we rented for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. That's such a good point, Ryan. And Sam and I did the same thing. When we were making the decision to come here to Nashville, one of the things that gave me so much peace is I was like, if we hate it, we can go back.
We just leave.
Like, we're adults. Yeah. Like, no one's going to stop us. And so I think that, yeah, I think it's exciting. Yet again, we talked to somebody who has done well with their money. They've got choices that they can make. And there's not a right or wrong choice. You can just up and decide, what do you want to do?
They got options. That's
I love right. that. Thanks for the call, Ryan. It's up to you what you want to do. It's up to you and your family. You can do either one. All right. We got Ryan in Lansing, Michigan. What's going on,
Matthew,
Ryan? Matthew. I got to put my glasses on, John. What's going on, Matthew? How can we help?
Hey, I'm doing well. I'm a new listener to the podcast. Been listening for a month or so.
Welcome to the gang.
I'm 18 years old, and I currently am working for state government. And I really don't like my job, but they're paying for a lot of my college. So my question to you is, should I leave my job because I don't like it and then have to pay more for college? Or should I stick with this job for a few more years and get the college paid for?
How old are you?
18.
What are you going to college for?
Cybersecurity.
Are you enjoying your coursework? Is that what you want to do?
It's not necessarily my dream job, but it is probably what I would want to do that's actually going to pay the bills.
Okay. If I'm you, I would tell you to stay and get your job. Keep your work and get your college paid for. And here's why, because you're 18. If you quit, you're going to go to college and you're going to be waiting tables and mowing lawn. I mean, you're going to be doing work on the side to make these payments. And so I would say, man, get all the experience you can. See if you can get involved in some of the IT work or some of the cybersecurity work, or go to coffee with those guys. So it may not be the ins and outs of your job that you love every day, but do you what you can, like Ken talks about with the proximity principle, to rub shoulders with some of these folks in the security work or the government work, how it all works. None of that's going to go to waste, because I can see you getting done with your 4-year degree, getting a certificate in cybersecurity, and then having 4 years of government work on your resume, and that's going to look real good.
Okay, and with that, it is possible for me to transfer within the government to other positions. Would you recommend me look into that as well?
Why wouldn't you?
I don't know. I'm not sure if that would leave, like, I've only been at the job I'm at for 6 months, and I don't want to.
What about it do you not like?
What was that?
What about it do you not like?
The job?
Yeah.
It's very mundane work. I don't feel like I'm really accomplishing anything. And then at the same time, there's very few achievable goals. I don't have, there's not a set, I guess, completion of a task. It's just kind of work on it, and it never really gets done, you know?
Yeah. I guess what I'm asking is, Jade, hop in here. You're currently seeking a degree to get qualified for the job that you want to do. And so you are not at this current job for any philosophical reason other than they provide you an experience and a paycheck. And that paycheck is being used to fund your qualifying your qualification path so that you can get this job you want. We are expecting, and all of us do this, but we've created a culture where we expect our jobs to give us all of our purpose and all of our meaning and and sometimes it's a means to an end. And right now you've got a date, that a finish line here, and that's graduation, and then you're done, right?
I agree. It's a means to an end. Like you said, if you were older and you were calling in just saying, hey, I hate my job, I need to get out of it, that's different. But you're young, you're using this to pay for your education, you're trading one thing for another. I think it's a great trade because you're getting your school paid for.
Yeah.
You're not going to have student loans coming out of this. Now, I think that that's worth it. If there's some reason that you get out of this, then you just got to swear to yourself that you're going to pay cash from here on out. That's really where the give and take of this. If you're not going to keep this job, how are you going to pay for school?
I actually, this is me. I like that you need to sit in a mundane, boring job for a season.
Man.
To show yourself, I can do this. I can do tough stuff. I can do boring stuff. I can do exhausting stuff. There's a strength and character on the back end of this that I think would be worth your time. And as an 18-year-old, you're rolling your eyes right now. I can feel them through the phone. You're like, oh, gosh, this old idiot. I get that. That's fine.
But raise your hand if you've ever worked a job that you hated.
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
Everybody.
Everybody.
And especially when it's a means to an end. So if you have an opportunity to move in there and find something that's more your thing, absolutely. But I wouldn't go applying and saying, I'm through with this terrible... I'd ride it out, man. You've got a pretty sweet setup right now, and it's adjacent to what you want to do for your career. I'd let it ride, brother, and take the free tuition.
I do the same thing. Look, there's purpose in the process, and a lot of times we want to try to skirt that process because it's not fun or it's boring or it's not all that it was cracked up to be. But in this case, it's serving a greater purpose. All right, that does it for this hour. Be sure to join us next time. And remember, when it comes to changing your life and your money, you can tell me that you won't do it, but please don't tell me you can't do it. With Christ, all things are possible. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jade. Look, if you like what you heard in this episode and want to know more about getting started on the Ramsey Baby Steps, go to RamseySolutions.com and click the Get Started button. We'll help you figure out the best next step for you based on your specific situation. That's RamseySolutions.com and click Get Started.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.